chi thế.
Let's continue. Moses teaching, huh? Now we go into Moses teaching. He teaches how to fear God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. When the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on earth, and then they may teach their children. Here Moses recounted that God want him to gather all the Israelites before the Mount Sinai, so that they can hear God's words and learn to fear God. Oh. So it was God's intention that Israel can see his presence and really know that he was fearsome. And then the Israel can live a life keeping God's words. So this is Moses' teaching. The book of Deuteronomy actually was the last book written by Moses. And Deuteronomy, one of the main themes, keep on repeating and repeating. Right. What was the main theme? He reminds the Israelites, do not abandon God. If you abandon God, curse will come. If you really fear God, keep his commandment, the blessing will come. So the whole book of Deuteronomy keep on repeating this same topic. So as what we mentioned, the whole Bible is an interaction between man and God. You can see those who really fear God, show reverence to God, right? Live a life, try to please God. You look into their life, always filled with peace, joy, blessing, prosperity. But those who refuse to fear God and show reverence to them, maybe in a very short moment, you can see their prosperity. But in the end, you're going to see they declined. And then they suffered. They perished. So we are in the beginning of our life. If we know how to show reverence to God in every aspect, in every decision, in everyday's life, you are going to harvest a lot of blessing. You are going to live a wonderful life in the rest of your life. So no wonder Proverbs say, fear God is a wisdom and understanding. Yes, the wise person is the one who really develops reverence to God. Even you study very well, you have a good job, right? You achieve a lot, a lot of people respect you. If we don't know how to live a life, show our reverence to God, we are the person who has no wisdom, no understanding. Okay. So Moses' teaching, we have to learn from God's words. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse And also it shall be when he sit on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy for this law in the book from one before the priest and Levi. Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the law of God and be careful to observe all the words of the law and those statutes. Here is a reminder that all the kings should prepare a copy of the law so they can read, they can understand, and they can keep it in order to show their reverence to God. So how can we fear God? We have to learn from God's words according to these three verses. Because you see so many verses, so many classes we have spent on this topic, right? The more we study, the more clear we know how to live a life of reverence to God. Right? So without the instruction of God, we know the concept of fear God, but in reality, what does that mean, fear God? We don't know. But after we study the Bible in depth, all of a sudden we know fear God involves so many different kind of aspects. Fear God, show our reverence God, is not a very narrow topic. It's a very wide topic, wide scope topic, almost related to every part of your life. From your inner thinking to your speech, to your decision you made, to the way you deal with the things happen to you, all related to show our reverence to God. So we have to learn from the words of God. Number B, do what is right and good in God's sight. So in short, fear God means do what is good and right in the eyes of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. That you may fear the Lord your God, keep his statute and his commandment, which I command you, and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your day may be prolonged. And verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statute and judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe him in the land which are crossing over and process. And verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may well with you, and that you may multiply it greatly, as the Lord God your Father has promised you, the land following the milk and honey. Okay, and then continue 13 and 18. You shall fear the Lord your God to serve him and take the earth of his name. And 18, you shall do what is right and good in the eyes of God. So what Moses tried to remind him again and again, especially in the Deuteronomy, what Moses was afraid that after their life been improved, what is going to happen? They are going gradually become proud about themselves. After their life has been improved, they gradually will live a life for cutting God's grace. You look into chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12.
house full of the good things which you did not fill, hewn out well which you did not dig, vineyard and olive tree which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Verse 12. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of the bondage. And 13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall take oath of his name. Do you know? Living a life of reverence God, the biggest threat is what? Complacency. Comfortable life. Everybody wants to live a comfortable life, right? But Moses already foretold their generation. When your house expands, when your harvest increases, when all the good things increase, be careful. Your heart will forget God. Once our heart forget God, then there will be no reverence to God. Right? It's just like you drive a car in the freeway. If you try to purposely ignore the police car is driving just along with you, you try to ignore it, and you keep on pushing the speed up, then what? You end up getting a ticket. Oh, right? So when our life becomes very comfortable, we become very successful, we have so-called self-confidence. Oh, right? Then we gradually find out, without God, I can live my own life. No problem. And then we break away from God. You live according to whatever you think is right. And we show no reverence to God. And that was the beginning of suffering. Oh. So if you read the whole book of Judges, the few hundred years, I think about 300 or 400 years, the whole book of Judges, there was a cycle keep on repeating and repeating. Do you know what kind of cycle? In the book of Judges, what kind of cycle? When the Israelites live in prosperity, and then they start to what? Lose up their faith. And then next is worshiping the idol. Right? And then when they start worshiping the idol, what happened? God sent the prophet to warn them. Hey, return, repent. Right? And they refuse to return, repent. And then what? God allowed the foreign nation to invade them. Right? To beat up them. To rob all their property, their harvest. And then they are in desperation, hunger. And then they start to cry to God. God, we sin against you. Oh, forgive us. Right? And then when they cry against aloud to God, and then God forgive them. And then what? God bless them. And then they start to have a life in prosperity. And then not long later, when they live in prosperity, what happened? The same thing keep on repeating. For 300-400 years, the same cycle keep on repeating. This is human being, do you know? Are you unique or we are just one of them? Hey, brother, my question is, are you the unique one or are we just one, the very similar to one of them, the generation of judges? We are different or we are no different? As a human nature, no different. Yeah. So you look, our life. The time you pray the hardest one always is the time you are in trouble, right? Oh. When your life is very good, very comfortable, no worry, everything goes according to your will, you kneel down and you don't know what I'm praying for because I have everything. Right? You ask me to fast and pray. For what? My life is so good. Why fast for pray for what? You know, for the people in Africa, fasting prayer one meal is what? Trivial. Two meal. Manageable. Why? Because their stomach always empty. So one meal and two meal is nothing. But to us, our stomach is so well fed. Breakfast, you think about whether it's milk or it's soybean milk, or you are going to eat what? All different kind of bread, right? You have so many different choices. Our life is too comfortable. When we are not so comfortable, you cannot fast even one meal. So be careful. The biggest challenge of living a life of reverence to God is a complacency, a life in complacency, a comfortable life. And you look into the most comfortable life where? In the United States. The most comfortable life, I think, is California. So no wonder about 40% of members in California. Right. So it's dangerous. It's a great danger. Okay. So God to do what is right and good in God's eye. B. How I show reverence to God. In conclusion, if I try my best to do what is right and good in the eyes of God, then I am living a life of reverence to God. So just put God in front of you. No matter where you go, just put God in front of you. When you do everything, just think God is watching. Then it is a life of reverence to God. Now, next one, 2. God requires people to fear Him. That's what I already read. 3. Fear God in offering. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. If we try to show our reverence to God, what should we do? There are many ways, we already mentioned, right? And one of the ways is offering. Chapter 14, verse 23. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where you choose and make His name abide, and the tithes of your grain, your new wine, and your oil, and your firstborn of the earth, and your flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. See, how can you learn to fear the Lord your God? Give the firstborn, give the first fruit to Him. That is a way to show your reverence to Him. I heard that a sister went back to her home country for employment. And when she had the first salary, she gave the first salary to the grandparents. I was very touched. One day you are going to have your first salary, first paycheck, right? Once you get your first paycheck, what are you going to do? I'm going to buy a MacBook Air, 13-inch, 14-inch. I'm going to buy first-class ticket, try to enjoy myself, right? When you start to be independent financially, first paycheck, what are you going to do? The reason today you can have a first check is because of what? Of course, because you study hard, right? Beside that, for what? Your parents working day and night to pay your tuition, so you don't have to be indebted. Right? So when I heard the sister's testimony, I was really touched. Because the sister know how to repay, know the how to show gratitude to the parents. So God is the same. The reason we can make money, there are a few reasons, not because you work hard. First, you need to have a capability. The second, you need to have an opportunity. Right? Besides, you work hard. If you want to work hard, you have no opportunity. Nobody will employ you. You have make no money. If you have opportunity, but you have no capability, you are not capable. You have no health. You cannot earn the money. Oh, so there are so many factors contribute together that you will make money. Oh, so the first fruit, the first born animal offered to God, this is a way to learn how to show our respect to God, reverence to God. Now, so I hope in the future, if you start to earn the money, first, show your reverence to God. Second, show your reverence to your parents. You know your parents are not necessarily really love and need your money. Some of your parents are loaded, right? I know some of your parents are loaded. You look into their 401k, maybe they never reveal to you. But a lot of parents work so hard, what? Accumulate 401k. They don't need your money. But only a small token of the money, right? To them, it's not the amount of money. It is the meaning inside which makes the difference. Okay. So, how can we show our reverence to God? According to Deuteronomy, offer our first fruit, firstborn animal. In our time means when you are capable to make money. Or what? When you are in the summertime, right? In the school year. You are so busy. But in summertime, when you have time, right? Help your parents to mop the floor, to what? Wash the dishes. These are always the way to show your respect and your reverence to your parents. Right? Number four, who knows the power of God's anger? This is very important. Moses mentioned in Psalm chapter 90, verse 11. Psalm chapter 90, verse 11. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. The reason God is fearful, because God is the one who will get angry one day. Right now, in New Testament time, it's a grace period. Right? Just like credit card, grace period for 30 days. That if you don't pay off, then after 30 days, what is going to happen? To pay the high interest or penalty. So, after Jesus Christ came, he redeemed us out of sin. So this is a grace period. God showed his mercy to us. Right? So God is the same God like appeared in the Mount of Sinai. But God, it seems not so fearful nowadays. Right? Why? Because right nowadays, under the period of God's grace. But after this period of God's grace finished, that means the second coming of Jesus. And in the time of second coming of Jesus, according to Revelation, tomorrow we are going to study, the God who is going to appear to everyone is far more fearful than Old Testament. Far more terrible than the time of Old Testament. Because once the grace period finished, the wrath of God is coming. Oh. So, Moses knew that who knows the power of God's anger. You know, a lot of times that people think, right, once I die, I finished. That's not true. That is a life of very ignorant. Right? We live under the presence of God. We live under the grace of God. At the same time, we have to face God to give an account of our life. And God will hold everybody accountable. Nobody can run away from God. So we have to show our reverence to God. Know his power of wrath. Now we're going to Roman character number 3. Living reverence of God in the prophet. You know that who was the first king in the Bible? Who was the first king? Next one. Yes. Ah. Saul. Are you here? Ah. Saul was first king. You are right. Oh. Saul was the first king. Then, under which king the kingdom spread into two? Next one. Jeremy. Ah. Rehoboam, oh, the son of Solomon. Oh, and the kingdom spread into two. One is northern kingdom, one is southern kingdom. The next question, next one. The northern kingdom called Judah or called Israel? Israel. Are you sure? Next one. How about the southern kingdom? Judah. Oh, okay. These are two kingdoms, right? Since so many kingdoms, there are so many kings, right? Can you name three kings? Next one. Only three. Ruth. Three kings. Okay. Okay. Isaiah isn't a king. Huh? Oh, okay, Uzziah. Oh, sorry. Oh, Hezekiah. Oh, okay. There are many kings, right? And according to the statistic, probably you have no time, the bad king is more than good king. Right? Bad king is more than good king. Oh. So many kings. Ah. So many kings. If you read all the books, if the king really show reverence to God, live a life of fearing God, try to do everything right before God, what happened? They all enjoy prosperity, the blessing of God. So prosperity actually is not bad, do you know? Oh. Prosperity comes from God. God rewards them, their reverence with prosperity. But what really bad is human nature. It's not a prosperity itself. Because God is the father. I want my children to enjoy good life. Right? God wants his children to enjoy good life too. But what bad is human nature? Once you are in prosperity, right? Then you forget God and become bad. Yeah. So, among so many kings, you can see the interaction with God. Right? Reverence harvest, blessing. Ungodly rebellion against God harvest, curse, suffering. This is human history, never change. So we have to learn a lesson from them. So start from today on, try your best, because God never changed. The God we worship today is the same with the God they worshiped 1,000 years ago. Oh, if we live a life, show a reverence to God, prosperity is waiting for you. The blessing of God waiting for you. Oh. Now, so many kings under the what? Spiritual counsel of the prophet. So in the Old Testament, a lot of prophet. And a lot of prophet try to give a spiritual guidance to the king. Now, if the king was waiting to follow the guidance of the prophet, then the king become a good king. If the king are waiting to follow the guidance of the prophet, then they become the bad king. Oh. So now we are going to see the major prophet under their servitude as a prophet in that period of time. What happened to the king and the people in that generation? Oh, and what was the outcome of that generation? Now, the first one, We look into Isaiah. Before Isaiah was called, he saw a vision. In Isaiah chapter 6. Right? Can anybody briefly describe the vision witnessed by Isaiah? Isaiah saw who was serving God. Who? Isaiah chapter 6, who was serving God? Who was serving God? In that vision, who was serving God? Oh, next one. Joseph, who was serving God? Seraphim was a king? No. Who was serving God in that vision? Angel, right. Seraphim was angel, not king. Oh. Seraphim, the meaning of seraphim is what? Burning. And burning has two meanings. The first meaning is zeal. The second meaning is purity. You know the Amazon jungle, right? They try to clean up the part of Amazon jungle to become a farmland. What did they do? Just use a fire that is burned. After all the forest burned out, then it become a piece of land. Oh, burning. Oh. So, seraphim serving God first is very pure. Just like been burned by the fire. He was very zeal. And where comes that zeal? You know, a lot of students, before they graduate, they already look at the money. Oh, so zealous pursue the degree, MBA, this and that. Why? Because the money hide behind that degree is a high income. When you look at the money, your heart is so zealous, right? Oh. One day you are ready to get married. You look at the one you like. Your heart becomes so zero. You are able to drive 30 miles to have one meal together with the one you like. Right? Zeal. But that zeal comes from where? When seraphim was able to witness God. Because seraphim was spirit. Alright? Angel was spirit. So spirit was able to see spirit, was able to see God. But our physical body cannot see God. Once the self witness God, oh, that zeal burning. So today, our heart is not burning because what? We never see God physically, spiritually, we never know God. That's the reason our heart is not burning. Oh, if one day God reveal himself, you witness him, your heart will be burning. Or spiritually, God give us wisdom to know him through the teaching of the Bible, your heart will be burning. I want to serve him because he is a glorious God. He is the greatest God. Right. Burning. Serving God. Burning and purity. And that serving was so powerful. When he was shouting, holy, 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 what happened? When he was shouting, holy, 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 what happened? Nothing happened? Brother, hymn number one, what is the topic? It's too late to open it. Hymn number one, what did that happen? You. Huh? Holy, 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 right? If we are singing the number one hymn, all of a sudden, the chapel shaking, full of God's glory, what happened? Oh. You automatically kneel down. God, you are so great, right? So powerful. Oh, that was the sin Isaiah witnessed before he was called. Do you know? If everybody was waiting to be close to God and witness his beauty, his glory, and his power, I tell you, everybody wants to worship God. Everybody wants to serve him. Today, our heart is to worshiping the money, worshiping the success in the world. Why? Because we live by sight.
If we live by faith, our servitude will be different.
So, show our reverence to God. After Isaiah saw this vision, all of a sudden, he feel what? How did he feel about himself? How did he feel about himself? Huh? You don't know. Next one. Next one. Right.
How do you feel about himself?
Yeah, I'm a sinner. Right, I'm a sinner. He puts himself down. Hey, anybody? Have you ever tell anybody I'm a sinner? No, I have no sin. You are a sinner, right? That's what most of people say. Right. But Isaiah said, I am a sinner. When he witnessed God, he puts himself down because God is so high. He recognized he's unclean because God is a clean one. So, Isaiah's servitude actually is a servitude with reverence. Why? Because he witnessed the vision about the God worship by Seraphim. So today, you come to church. Did you see God? No. You know, the in the Central America, South America, most of them predominantly are Catholic. And Catholic Church have one common practice. They put idol in the chapel. You know? The statue of Mary and the crucifixion of Jesus, the statue of Paul, right? Oh. So some of the Catholic people from Central and South America come to our churches circling around. I did not see God, and they left. But they come to the church. Hey, no God to worship. I leave. They went to their chapel. There's a Mary there, statue there. Oh, they worship. Oh, here no God. Right? Actually, God is invisible. So after Isaiah witnessed, right, his servitude will be different. Really respect God. Oh, really respect God. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about God, the Almighty God. Why Isaiah chapter 40 and a few chapters before or after that talk about God? Because Israelite people worship idol. The reason they worship idol because they fail to understand the God they worship. If they really understand the God they worship, they will not worship idol. Now, chapter 40, there are a few verses that are very prominent, very famous. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, can you read it? Next one. Chapter 40, verse 15. Read it aloud, or just like you are not fasting. Margaret. Okay. Chapter 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as a small dust in the scale. Look, he dipped up the island as a very little thing. Right? A drop in the bucket. You see the ocean, so huge, right? How about you? You are like a drop of water among the ocean. So you know, who are you? Nothing, only a drop of water. Did you see dust? No. You wear the glass and you don't see dust. Huh? Did you see dust? Anybody see dust? Raise your hand. You cannot see it. Why? Because it's too tiny. When a very bright ray of sunshine come into the room, then you all of a sudden you can see dust. And we are nothing but that dust. We are so tiny. God is so great. Right? Who is most muscular, has stronger power? Who? Who among you? Probably you. Oh, right. Oh, you learn the Taekwondo. No. If you are well built, how heavy can you lift up? 200 pounds? Thank God, right? How about 300 pounds? The Bible says God was able to lift up a whole island. To him is a trivial, right? Whole island, up and up and down and down. And all the universe be sustained by his power. He's so powerful. And this is the God we worship. So when we know the God we worship, so great, please show our reverence to him. Respect him, right? And how did the Israelites worship God? Look into Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 13. Isaiah 29:13. Therefore, those said, inasmuch these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of man. Look, the Israelites, they worship God only in mouth. Oh, right. But their heart, actually no fear about God. No. They only serve God, mouth, deep service. Why? In their heart, God has no position at all. That's the reason their servitude have no fear. Because they fail to understand what kind of God they are serving. No. So today, who will be the best servant? The best servant should be the one who really know God. If you really know God, you are like Paul. Right? So humble before him. Everything seeking his will. Everything glorify him. Why? Because I am nothing but a dust. I am nothing but a drop of water in the ocean. How can I give credit to myself? Oh. So the prayer, Lord's prayer is what? The last sentence. Thou art the kingdom, power, and glory. Right? Thou art the kingdom, power, and glory. If we serve God and our servitude become very fruitful, gradually we forget about this. Mine is the kingdom. This church is built by me. You see, after I come to the church become prosperous, right? Right. And power belong to me. Right. And glory belong to me. That's human being. Do you know? Oh. So you look into some of the churches, mega church. They elevate their leader far beyond what? Jesus Christ. How do we know? Because in whole day of servitude, they talk about their leader's name more than they talk about Jesus' name. Do you know? Oh. But that will never happen in TJC. Do you know? The more I serve God, the more I fearful. Why? Because if you try to steal a little bit God's glory, what? God is going to let you know the consequence. Just chastise you a little bit, then you are going to be painful to death. So in TJC, nobody dare to say the kingdom belong to me, the power belong to me, the glory belong to me. Why? Because God is here. And how come in other church, they were able to proclaim that kind of power, that kind of glory, that kind of kingdom, because God was not there, period. Pray in silence. Amen. We rest.